Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 56. You'll find it on page 850 of your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Again, this is Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 56. Hear the word of the Lord. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." And Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months, then went back to her own home. Last week, Pastor Steve shared with us what I would call an extraordinary story. A young woman, Mary, a girl of real no importance in her world, is approached by the angel Gabriel and is told that the Holy Spirit will come upon her, will breathe new life into her, and she will have a baby boy, and he will be the Son of God. A woman favored by the Lord, she is told. This indeed is no ordinary encounter. And Mary is scared, and she's confused. And as such, she is not alone. Scripture is full of these extraordinary encounters. We think of Moses at the burning bush, or the prophet Isaiah in the temple and the glowing coal that is placed in his mouth, or Paul on the road to Damascus falling at the feet of Christ. These extraordinary encounters are powerful, and I think that they are also persuasive in their power. Though all three, Moses, Isaiah, and Paul, they have their doubts about whether they're worthy of doing the work that God has called them to, each ultimately trusts the Lord and follows. "Here am I," they say. And though confused, Mary also trusts that the Lord will keep his promises to her. "Here am I," she says. You see, extraordinary encounters with God leave little room for doubt. Now, you may have questions, you may be confused, and certainly Mary is in this story, but you are convinced that God is going to be true to the promises that he has made. And so you act. You do something. You move. It is clear that God is present. Perhaps you have had one of these extraordinary encounters yourself. You know, these are the moments in which God's voice is almost audible, in which His will, His desire for our lives is like a path that has been lit before us, and we know where we should go. These are the type of experience that we look back later on in our lives, and we pin them as a turning point, as a transformation. And we say things like, "And then I knew." Or, "It was so clear that God was speaking to me, and so." Or we say things like, "From that moment on." They become the narrative climax in the testimony that we give about God's grace and His mercy in our lives. But there's just one problem. You see, the problem with extraordinary encounters with God is that they are just not that ordinary. You know, there have been a couple of moments in my life that I can point to and say that I had an extraordinary experience of God. It was as if the voice of God was nearly audible in my life. His will for my life was tangible. His presence was just there. But I will be the first one to tell you guys if I speak to a burning bush. I promise you that. And if I come to you and I tell you that I've spoken to a burning bush, I want you to take what I've said with a very large grain of salt. You see, the vast majority of my life as a follower of Christ, and I bet this would be true of you as well, has been marked by what I would consider the mundane, the usual day-to-day experiences of living as a human being in this world. I have conversations with family and friends, with you all, and I gather each Sunday to pray, confess, worship, and hear the Word of God preached to me. And I go to the grocery store, and I go to Sharp's Burgers. I go to Sharp's Burgers a lot, actually. These moments are great and all, but they rarely feel like the extraordinary encounter with a holy one. They are essential to living a life well, but do they draw us any closer to the well of living water? They are ordinary. Ordinary like brushing your teeth in the morning. Ordinary like changing your car's oil. And ordinary, like two cousins having a visit. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived, and she entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. Now, I imagine that Mary's travels are much like our own. She has to be careful not to overpack her bags, and all her toiletries have to be fitted into containers that don't exceed the amount of 3.4 fluid ounces, of course. And then she finds out that her camel is delayed. And when she finally gets on the road, she is exhausted. No husband to carry her bags, and likely fighting the first bout of morning sickness. Just another ordinary day. And Elizabeth, receiving the news that family was coming to her home on such short notice, can you believe that? That poor, poor man, Zechariah. Rake the leaves, clean the bathrooms, hide your tools, for crying out loud. What should we serve her? I need you to go to the market and get 4 eggs. I need you to go back to the market and get 8 more, because that's actually what I needed. It goes on and on and on. And then the true test comes. And Elizabeth walks into the room and she's holding that green dress. I think I'm going to wear the green dress. What do you think?" And Zechariah, having been muted and silenced by the angel Gabriel, set a holy and good example for all husbands. He kept his mouth shut. Let it be a lesson to us all. Just another ordinary day. And then Mary arrived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. And at the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, biologically speaking, I feel like leaped is a bit of a stretch. Now, I've never been pregnant, and I don't plan on that happening anytime soon, but I have heard of mothers speak of the baby kicking or moving within the inside their womb. I remember when I was visiting my sister, and she was about 8 months pregnant, and she said, come here, come over here. And she had me place my hand on her belly to feel our little nephew Milo, who had not quite come into the world yet. And as I held my hand there, he threw one of the most vicious right-hand hooks I've ever experienced. Now, that was a beautiful and wonderful experience, but leaped? That sounds quite extraordinary, and this is rather an ordinary encounter. Two pregnant cousins on a visit, and one of the babies moves. A couple of days ago, I was sitting in the kitchen eating breakfast at the table. And Charlie came in, and she had a big smile on her face, and she said, "I felt the baby move this morning." Now, that is a rather ordinary occurrence, but it is an exciting one, and it brought a smile to my face, and I looked at her, and I asked, "What did it feel like?" And she kind of got this look on her face, and she said, "Well, it felt like a baby moving in my stomach." And I said, no, you don't understand, Charlie. I said, "What did it feel like?" And then she gave me a different look. Now, I've gotten this look before, and it usually comes when I'm sitting in the living room, it's a Sunday, and I'm watching the ball game. Charlie is in the kitchen baking a cake or muffins, something like that, and I hear from the kitchen, "Honey, can you come take the garbage out?" And I respond to her, "Do you want me to take it out now?" And she steps outside the kitchen, and she gives me that look, like, "You idiot, of course I want the garbage out now." I'm giving her a hard time. You all probably have experienced that look in one form or another. But then Charlie paused. She said, "I felt hope. I felt hope that the little thing is growing and that it's going to be there and there for us in the not so distant future." You see, when we are solely focused on the extraordinary, on extraordinary encounters with God, we miss the experience of His grace found in the ordinary moments of our lives. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy." You see, something happens to Mary and Elizabeth that transforms this ordinary visit into a moment in which they experience the grace of God. And the scripture tells us exactly what it is. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth knows that the movement in her womb is a declaration of God's peace, His hope, His love, and His joy. John the Baptist is doing inside of her what John the Baptist does. He is pointing to the Savior of the world. Here He is, the one who was promised and the one we've been waiting for. Now, the presence of the Holy Spirit, you guys, is vital. We can't simply look at ordinary events, or even extraordinary events for that matter, and hear the good news that Elizabeth experiences without God first revealing it to us. Sometimes we make that mistake. We see the rise of an individual to power, and we say to ourselves, well, that person must be doing God's work. Or we see the ordinary suffering of an individual. We see their torment, and we say to ourselves, well, they must have done something wrong. They must be sinners. Oh, that is so, so dangerous. Ordinary moments share God's grace because the Holy Spirit is present and transforms them. This church is a good example of that. Our time together is ordinary. There's nothing magical about church. It's not hocus pocus. Pastor Steve and I don't say anything that is inherently transforming and life-giving. I know that's a huge shock, but it's true. But we all trust that when we gather together in the name of Christ, like Mary and Elizabeth, that the Holy Spirit is present. And when the Holy Spirit is present, friends, that's when lives are changed. That's when lives are transformed. When the Holy Spirit is present, ordinary moments become glimpses into the kingdom of heaven. Trips to the market become a chance to uplift an ornery and grumpy cashier. Raking leaves, a chance to gather with church family and experience God's grace found in the gift of the community. Or so I've been told, Josh. Okay? You can ask your trustee and board member about that later. The sharing of a meal, whether it's bread and cup or steaks on the grill, becomes a moment of grace to celebrate God's good gifts to us. But even though God does move in these ordinary moments, and that's true, it still leaves me with a question. Why doesn't God just move always through the extraordinary events? I mean, like we said earlier, these things remove doubt. Why not just give us sure evidence of His power all the time through extraordinary circumstances, and we could all just be done with it? We wouldn't have to trust. We would just know. In other words, so why does God choose so often to use these ordinary moments rather than the extraordinary? You know, I don't know the answer to that question. In fact, Elizabeth, in her own way, seems to ask that same question. Why am I so honored, she says, that the mother of my Lord should visit me? I've tried to answer that question myself, and I've heard others do the same. And oftentimes they'll remark that if God always revealed Himself in extraordinary moments, then there would be no need for faith. Again, we would just have that certainty. And I get that answer, but again, I'm just not entirely sure what to do with it. That could be it. But what I do know from reading Scripture is that God does reveal Himself through the power of the Holy Spirit in the ordinary. So maybe the right question is not, why does God choose to reveal Himself in these ordinary moments, but rather, why has God chosen to use these ordinary moments? There's a difference but I think it's an important one. And that question, the second one, why has God chosen to use these ordinary moments? Well, that one I'm a lot more confident in answering. God uses these ordinary moments because he loves us. God loves us. God sends Mary to Elizabeth. The baby kicks in Elizabeth's womb and joyfully declares God's favor because his grace and his love belong to Mary and Elizabeth. You share in a hopeful prayer with a friend and experience peace because you are loved. You stand on the edge of a river casting flies to trout that are uninterested because through the power of the Holy Spirit, you know that you are loved. We have just over 1 week until Christmas. And some of you, like Mary, are going to be traveling to see family. And some of you will be like Elizabeth, frantically preparing for their arrival. And you will eat good food, and maybe you'll go and see a movie. And you'll take the dog for a walk, and you'll sit down with a friend to a good cup of coffee. And forgive the phrase, God unwilling, you're probably going to wake up at 4 a.m., some of you, to screaming, vomiting children. That's kind of ordinary life. And then on Christmas Eve, you'll share dinner, pack the car, and you might come to this church and I truly hope that you do. But I need to tell you something. It's all going to be quite ordinary. And praise God for that. Praise God, for he is the one who takes ordinary moments and transforms them into extraordinary grace. He takes the mundane, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we experience hope. He breathes life into the same old, so that it becomes a new creation. And these proclamations of God's grace and love will be ordinary. Ordinary like bread and cup. Ordinary like two cousins on a visit. Ordinary like a baby moving in the womb. And ordinary like a child born in a no-name town in a no-name inn. It will be absolutely, wonderfully, and beautifully ordinary. Let's pray. God, in your mercy and in your grace, you come to ordinary people, ordinary places, ordinary spaces, and through the power of your Holy Spirit, you transform them. And so, God, I do pray that we have extraordinary encounters with you. But we know that that is not the norm. So in our ordinary encounters with you, with our friends, with our church family, I pray that your Holy Spirit is present and that we would be pointed to your love for us, a love that we will be pointed to on Christmas morning, as we experience the Son who was given, that we would know his Father and be united to him in eternity. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.